It's time for Harley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
And welcome to CAT Scan, brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. Richard Dirksen is the VP of hockey for the WHL. And Richard, we last had you on a CAT Scan program November the 15th of 2018. That seems like an eternity ago. Now, you've been with the league for many, many years. You can even enlighten us as to how many years it's been, but I imagine the last two have seen longer than the previous 35.
Yes, you're certainly correct there. I started in 1978, so this is my 44th season.
Well, congratulations for being with the league that long. And talk about some of the challenges that you've had to deal with, the staff has had to deal with, that maybe we're not all aware of because there's been a lot.
I think the obvious one, and everybody would be aware of, is just the challenges we've gone through the past couple of seasons with the COVID virus. Of course, it's knocked out two of our playoff seasons, two WHL championships, two Memorial Cups. So it's really had an impact not only in our league, but our sister leagues in the Ontario League and the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. And, you know, when the Memorial Cup isn't played for, and it's just a tremendous loss for hockey that tournament has not been able to be played.
Right, but it is coming back, and the dates are a little bit later. As a matter of fact, recently you made some adjustments to the WHL regular season schedule that has been extended, and to the Memorial Cup, which now has a later date.
Yes, it actually worked out quite well, considering. Obviously, Ontario and Quebec were very impacted as well. We had a number of games that were postponed, especially in January. So we've been able to add 2 weeks onto the schedules of all three major junior leagues. And, of course, that means the Memorial Cup is backed up 2 weeks as well. It's a little bit interesting. We've always worked on the basis that the Memorial Cup would be finished on the final Sunday in May, and this year we're going into June, and not only the early part of June, if the Memorial Cup starts on the 20th, the championship game will be played on Wednesday, June the 29th, and of course 2 days later is July 1st holiday, so certainly much longer, I think, than anybody ever anticipated it would happen. But under the circumstances, it's worked out, and our champion will be heading to New Brunswick on Saturday, June the 18th.
Now, one of your main jobs continues to be the schedule, I assume?
That is correct, yes.
Right. So just sort of give us some insight as to what you have to do, what the computers do to help you, all the input. Give us some of the, the inside out of schedule and schedule changes.
Well, I'll give you just a bit of an example from last year. I think I created 9 or 10 schedules. If you remember, we continued to have delays through the course of the season, and then we ended up playing in bubbles in Kamloops, Kelowna, and Regina, and then within the divisions in the Central and the U.S. So certainly that was as complicated as it could occur. This year, the schedule's gone pretty smooth, other than the cancellations we had. And then, of course, full credit to our governors and the ownership of our teams to allow us to continue playing through the worst of the virus this year. And then the cooperation we got when we were rescheduling the games and adding on 2 weeks at the end of the season, which, again, that just doesn't happen. So it takes a lot of moving parts. We are currently in process for next season, and we generally try to have our schedule done for next season so we can announce it towards the end of May, later part of June when the NHL makes their announcement. We obviously have some coexisting teams, the Calgary Hitmen and the Flames, the Edmonton Oil Kings and the Oilers. So until the NHL schedule comes out, their games are still subject to change. The process we follow, we have a scheduler that I've worked with for a number of years, and he helps with the process for the interconference schedule. As you're aware, each team in the Eastern Conference plays the teams in the Western Conference once. So one division you'll play away, the other division you'll play at home, and then the following year that reverses. So every 2 years you get every team from the other conference within your building. So with the scheduler and myself, we put together what we call the interconference schedule, which is the first step. And once that is concluded, then we move into separate schedule formats. In the Eastern Conference, the scheduler will continue to work with me, and we'll do what we call the interdivision schedule, and that's between the East Division and the Central Division. We get those games done. And then the final part of the aspect in the Eastern Conference, the East Division will finish theirs and the Central Division will finish theirs. And I work very closely with all of the teams on that process. The scheduler is not involved at that time. In the Western Conference, the scheduler is only involved in the interconference part. And we're currently in the second phase in the Western Conference where we're trying to get the games done involving Prince George and Victoria. And the reason I say that, of course, they're on the perimeter, and it's very difficult to fit in trips for Prince George or teams going to Prince George if we allow the teams to pre-schedule rivalry games, that type of thing. So we're currently at that stage in the process, and then once we have that done, we'll allow the teams to pre-schedule some of their key games with the rivals.
Are you going to have a September startup, or are you going to wait till early October again?
No, we're looking at September 23rd, the start date for next season.
So I assume that for 22-23, you're going to have the same mindset as when you put out a schedule for 19-20.
Very similar, yes.
So BC teams, they will be going to the East, or is the Central coming to Prince George? Have you worked out that yet?
We have the East Division is coming to the BC Division. And the BC division travels to the Central Division next season.
Right. Anything else that you could sort of give us a little preview as to what Prince George fans might be looking forward to for the 22-23 season schedule?
Well, I think one of the key things will be Connor Bedard making a trip through the BC division next season. I think that's very fortunate. His hometown, of course, is in the Vancouver area. And so that trip will take place, and in all likelihood, it might be the last season Bedard plays in our league, so it'll be good that he'll be or get the opportunity to play back in his own province as a 17-year-old.
You take requests from teams, and probably at the end, nobody is 100% satisfied. Do you try to make the team 75% pleased, 80%, you work towards 100%. How does that? Because everybody's got requests. Everybody wants Friday and Saturday, and that's not realistic.
No, you've hit it right on the head. There is no such thing as a perfect schedule for any team in any league. Obviously, you've got your opponents that want the exact same benefits that your team is getting. I do try to work very closely with Prince George and Victoria in the Western Conference. Obviously, with their geographic locations, it's very difficult, especially Prince George, for teams to come up. We're very fortunate the last couple of seasons. We've been able to get more home-and-home games between Kamloops and Prince George. Kamloops has been very good to work with on that basis. And I think that works out real well for the fans in both locations. You know, it always gets a little more heated when the teams are playing the second game of a home-and-home and adds to the rivalries we have. Other than that, obviously we'll have a number of doubleheaders going into both Prince George and Victoria again. We do have, as I mentioned, the East Division coming through. Prince George and Victoria, and that gives you some single games with the East Division teams as they come through, so that'll be beneficial for both clubs as well.
Right, so for Prince George, in a nutshell, for next season's home schedule, There would be single home games against the East. There might be single home games against Kamloops. But for everybody else, as we become accustomed to, it'll be doubles.
Yeah, we actually, it's a little bit unique. We've got Kamloops and Kelowna both have to go to Prince George five times. So Kelowna will have at least one single up to Prince George as well.
Okay, so that's a little bit different. For this year's playoffs, games will start on Friday and Saturday. You can refresh me on the dates for that to start. And then I assume a team like Prince George that's not going to probably have home ice advantage, would they be home on the Tuesday and Wednesday?
Yes, we're looking at starting the playoffs on April 22nd and 23rd, which is a Friday-Saturday. Again, provided the teams have the home dates available. In some cases, if there's a concert or another event booked in, we may have to work around it. For the most part, we'll run 2-2-1-1-1. There's a good chance, depending who's playing Prince George, if they're in the playoffs in the first round, that the series may be a 2-3-2. If it's a 2-2-1-1-1, we would probably look at the games in the lower place team on Tuesday and Wednesday, the 26th and 27th. If it's a 2-3-2, we would add on another game on the Friday, the 29th, before the series would go back to the higher place team on the Sunday and Tuesday or Wednesday.
So can I make this assumption? If Prince George plays Kamloops, which is a possibility, a 2-7, then it would be 2-2-1-1-1. But if they were to play Portland or Seattle in a 3-6 matchup, then it would be a 2-3-2.
Don't put anything down in writing on it. Those are recommendations that I will make to the teams involved, depending on the amount of travel involved. But the overlying and the critical part is whether the arenas have their dates available. In some cases, we have teams, if you don't have the opening weekend and you're the higher place team, you might be looking at starting 2 on the road, coming back for 3, and then 1-1. So provided the buildings are available and the travel isn't too far, like Kamloops and Prince George, we would look at a 2-2-1-1-1, provided the billing dates are available.
Right. Okay. Any unique challenges that you have come across regarding this year's playoffs in terms of scheduling that you know right now?
This year, obviously, I haven't got to that point. We're not going to start our playoffs till the end of April, so we have lots of time. I think anybody that's followed our league over the years, if we're on our normal time frame, Brandon is usually out of their arena with their spring fair. So we've had to work around Brandon numerous times over the years. They've played games in Verdun, Dauphin, you know, other communities to get their games in that first round.
When a team like Prince George is talking to you about what they are looking for, or Victoria or Kamloops, what generally are they asking other than the normal, as many Fridays or Saturdays as possible? Are there unique things that they ask for that you can grant their requests or cannot grant their requests? How does that sort of work? Just sort of take us inside if a team like Prince George calls you up.
Well, for the most part, the teams want either Fridays and or Saturdays at home. The unique part in the Western Conference, we have a slight difference. The BC teams also want to get good trips going into the States. Of course, we've got the higher dollar, the travel, everything that goes with that. Where the U.S. teams, it's much more critical for them to get the Saturday nights, first of all, followed by Friday nights, and then, you know, worry about their trips to BC later. And that's one of the reasons we try to get their trips into Prince George and Victoria done before we get going with the rivalries and filling the Saturday nights.
You're listening to CAT Scan. It's brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. Richard Dirksen is the VP of Hockey for the WHL. On a recent CAT Scan podcast, I spoke with John Pateman, one of six owners with the Prince George Cougars and the Cougars team president. He mentioned that there are Monday meetings within the WHL, and as a league, attendance, he reported, was down 30%. Can you expand upon that? Is that number, as far as you're aware, pretty accurate? How do you look at attendance, and what can you give us some details on?
What I would say is that our attendance was definitely down fairly drastically from previous years in the first half of the season. And then, of course, we ran into a lot of postponements in January. We're actually pleased with the attendance over the last week or two. We seem to be trending upwards. We think we're trending in the right direction. We think things are trending in the positive direction. Again, I give full credit to our ownership, who have really had a tough couple of years here with COVID. If we can get through this and have a real good stretch run with our season extended into late April, followed by a real good playoff run, hopefully they'll be able to recoup some of their investments in the clubs, and our fans will get to see our wonderful product on the ice.
Yeah, I imagine some teams had to postpone games because there were no fans allowed. So, and you knew eventually that fans were going to come back in, and this, I think, mainly happened in the East. So you had to make requests to postpone some games so that you could get some fans in.
That's correct. And a prime example is in our Eastern Conference. Winnipeg and Edmonton are going head-to-head for the Eastern Conference pennant. It's interesting when you look at it. Winnipeg is 8 points behind, but they've got seven games in hand. And that, of course, is basically due to the fact that they didn't play any home games the majority of January because they weren't allowed any fans. So the one thing when you look at our standings between Winnipeg and Moose Jaw, there's an eight-game discrepancy right now. So Winnipeg, and likewise Brandon, has played two more games in Winnipeg, but they've got a lot of games to catch up here over the next month and a half.
Right. So that's going to be obviously, what's the most challenging part about rescheduling?
Well, obviously, you're not going to necessarily get the dates that you had, and I'm referring to the day of the week. So if you had a team coming into you on a Friday or Saturday and you lose that game due to postponement, that doesn't guarantee you're going to get a Friday or Saturday back when you reschedule it. So that's been a little difficult for the teams. However, by adding on the 2 weeks, we spent a lot of time trying to do the best we could in removing some of the less desirable dates in February and March and putting them into weekends in April.
Now, I know teams got help from government and assistant programs, but still it's been a real rough two-year stretch. Any teams that you're aware of that is in real financial difficulty or barely making it, or anything that you can enlighten us on in terms of that, or have the owners been able to just keep writing the checks and been able to keep afloat?
Well, certainly it's been very difficult for them. Some of our teams were subsidized by the governments in their provinces last year. There's been no subsidies this year. The teams are on their own, and yet, even though it's been difficult, we think they're going to be able to pull through, and we're certainly hoping for a real good stretch run here and playoff runs, which could help the teams as well.
So I imagine the sense is, my gosh, it was a bad 2 years, but it's now looking like the worst is over, we all hope, and now we can go back to pre-pandemic and looking at things like they were at that point. Is that sort of the mindset right now?
I hate to even say that, hardly. I don't want to jinx us, but certainly it looks like we're coming out of this second variant. Who knows what's going to come down the road, but our teams are full speed ahead. And again, if we have a real successful finish here, that'll bode well for the 22-23 season.
So you've been with the league since 78. I've been with the radio station in Prince George since 79. So you got 1 year on me in terms of that. As you look back with all those years, obviously the pandemic is in a complete class by itself, but what would have been in all those years looking back the next biggest challenge you face? Like obviously what's happened with COVID is clearly bigger than anything the league has had to deal with, but what, as you look back over all those years, would be second to that you had to overcome?
I would think just the style of play. Anybody that's followed our league over the years, our game is drastically different now than it was back in the 70s, 80s, and even the 90s. Again, we're doing everything we can to make our game safe for the players. Anytime you're going to have as much body contact as we do in our game, we're going to have injuries. So I think everybody accepts that. But, I think we all are pleased that we've been able to change our game. The National Hockey League has done as well. And by that, a couple things. Obviously, the violence or physical aspect of the game, when you go back a long ways, certainly it's a lot better the way it is now. But we also went through a real clutch and grab period, which, anybody that remembers that decade, it was tough to watch some of those games because the teams basically were playing to score one goal and then just shut everything down and try to win the game on a goal. And so we've been able to open up the game. It's very entertaining. We don't have a lot of the incidents and things that used to happen on a fairly regular basis. It's a great product for the fans, great development league for the players as they move through ours in their hopes to get to the National Hockey League or other forms of pro hockey. The other thing, of course, that's been tremendous for us is our education program. Every player that plays in our league receives tuition books at a Canadian university, Canadian college, or trade school when they're done playing, and that's been a tremendous asset for our programs, and of course for the players. They're going to get the best of both worlds when they play in the Western Hockey League.
Well, former Prince George Cougar Greg Gardner used to be in charge of education, but he's been promoted. What's his role now within the WHL?
He is the vice president of operations for the league, and as you mentioned, he was a 5-year member of the Prince George Cougars. He's done a tremendous job in our office, and he was really the guru for us through the COVID years. He's worked very closely with our teams, with the team's medical staffs, with Dr. Dhiren Naidu, who has helped guide us through the COVID as well. And believe me, it's been a bit of a load off his chest here with things starting to improve and seeing that we're through the second variant.
Is Greg being groomed, or could you see him being the next commissioner?
I don't think we've taken any look at any of that at this point. I think he's very comfortable where he is.
Right. But he's certainly worked his way up in the WHL. There's been no question about that, and I guess that's what hard work will do for you. We see that. In terms of from players, teams, or fans, what would the WHL, has the WHL received some complaints that they've had to deal with? Has there been a common theme, other than COVID situations, over the last little while, or has everything just been so focused on that?
When you're dealing with 22 teams, there are a few toothaches that come up now and again, but I don't think there's anything that's out of the ordinary from any other year.
Right. Okay. So there's nothing sort of unique that the teams or fans or whatever are looking for. What about, go ahead.
We're actually looking on the more positive aspect. And when we look at our races, we've got tremendous races in both conferences. We've gone back to the conference playoff system this year. So that the first place team in each division will get the first and second byes. So if you looked at the Western Conference right now, Everett and Kamloops would have the first two spots. And then the next six teams in order of points get the next six spots. So as you know, we've used divisional playoffs other than, of course, our COVID years in recent history. So that is a change for us this year. And it's very interesting when you look at it. Not only do we have great races up at the top, but the races up for the last playoff spot are going to be exceptional. We've got right now Victoria, Tri-Cities, and Spokane. One of those three teams will make the playoffs. And they're 2 points apart, the three teams. And as luck would have it, we've got a tremendous finish to the season with Spokane in Victoria for a doubleheader on the final weekend. Tri-Cities has their last three games at home, but they happen to be against Portland, Seattle, and Everett. So we think it's going to go right down to the last day there. Likewise, in the Eastern Conference, we've got 12 teams, and of course only eight make the playoffs. So we have five teams right now battling for the last two playoff spots.
The league made a change for TV. TSN is now taking over. Tell us how that came about. Tell us how that's working out with TSN and CBC and what you have in place and how long is the deal for?
Well, again, we're very pleased with how it's evolved. This was the first year of the agreement. And what it was, we had CBC televise our games in the early part of the season. And then there was a break followed by the World Junior. And, of course, that wasn't concluded this year. But the World Junior would normally lead right into the CHL TSN Game of the Week for the second half of the season. And then TSN will be picking up playoff games in the championship series from all three leagues as it leads into the Memorial Cup. So we think it's going to be a tremendous partnership with TSN and CBC. And, of course, this year, with COVID, we had to make some changes to the schedule along with postponements of games. So we certainly anticipate things will be a little bit smoother with the relationship next year.
Will there be any playoff games televised in any of the first three rounds of the playoffs?
We're still determining that. We will definitely have games televised in our championship series on TSN.
Right. Okay, and obviously, you know, that's what every league looks for is as much exposure as possible, and TV's probably the best way to accomplish that. So how long is the deal in place then with TSN and CBC?
We're looking at least 3 years, and hopefully if everything works well, that will get extended.
Right. And are you looking at increasing games per year now that we'll be getting back to normal seasons?
The program is set up the way I described it earlier. Whether there's any changes or additions to it, that would have to be negotiated.
Right. Okay. Anything else that the league is working on? Any announcements coming up? Things that, you can maybe enlighten us on?
We've got the CHL Top Prospects game, which will be held near the end of March. That's going to be in Kitchener, Ontario. In terms of, the NHL draft, that's supposed to be in Montreal, and that would be immediately following the week after the conclusion of the Memorial Cup, again in July. So some of the things are still in progress, but we're hoping once we get through this season and all the different time frames for some of these events that we'll be back to normal again next year.
In terms of WHL staff, I think in the past, I was looking at about 20 or close to 20 members part of the staff. Is that number still the same? Was there any reductions over the COVID period? Or is everybody still basically have the same jobs that they were doing?
We had, obviously, and unfortunately, we had some people that were let go through the period of the COVID. Again, that just remains to be seen whether we're going to refill all those spots or not.
Right. And again, it's like any business, lots of challenges and everything like that. But, we all have, as we're looking forward, it's I imagine everybody is trying to take the approach, let's just look forward because we can't do anything more about the past anyway.
That's correct. We hope next year we're back to normal and it'll be an outstanding year from all aspects.
Right. Okay. And then you can get back to having teams at you for what they want for schedules and all that stuff. And 68 games is certainly still in play. That's sort of going to be long-term again with the WHL, or would that be revisited at some point?
No, that is correct. 68 games, we moved to that a few years back. It's worked extremely well. We're consistent now with Ontario and Quebec, and that allots us the time to get more games in on weekends as well as have more practice time during the course of the week for each team.
I imagine the league is thrilled. There will be a World Junior come August.
Well, it's going to be unique for our teams. It's going to be a short summer, especially for our champion. As I said, they're going to finish on June the 29th, and then the players going to the World Junior, the camp will start the early part of August. So for some of our players, they're only going to get just over a month off this summer, which I don't think is good. I'd like to see a much longer break for them. And then, of course, the top players, the graduates, are going to go right into pro camps from there.
So, Richard, you plan on doing this for a few more years? You might as well get to the 50 mark.
We'll see.
All right. Appreciate your time. Take care.
Thanks a lot, Hartley.
Yeah, Richard Dirksen is the VP of Hockey with the WHL. You've been listening to CatScan, brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words.